Amen. That's a wonderful hymn to lead us into our message. Because our message is going to be about singing endless praise to Jesus. Well, I'm glad you are all here. As Jay always says, this is not a, you are not here by mistake. God brought you here for a specific reason. So allow the Holy Spirit to minister what He wants to minister to you today. A few years ago, an Indianapolis Superior Court judge made news when she paid $1 of her own money to post a bail for a burglary suspect. The judge became personally involved for several reasons. The suspect had no money. He had no prior criminal record. The jail was overcrowded. And minimal bond had to be set so that a deputy could be assigned to escort the suspect to a work release center to wait for his trial. The judge's actions, however, were not above criticism. She was accused of losing her objectivity, and so she removed herself from the case. Well, this story reminds me of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus has also personally become involved in the lives of those who will stand before Him one day to give an account of their lives. How did Jesus become personally involved in the lives of those who are scheduled to stand before His court? Well, here is how He became personally involved. Jesus suffered in their place on the cross. Jesus sacrificed His life for them. Jesus shed His precious blood as payment for their sins. But His actions cannot be criticized. So Jesus doesn't have to remove Himself from the case. He's still on that case because a day is scheduled for you and for me to appear before Him and give an account of our lives. So Revelation chapter 5 describes praise for Jesus that He will receive one day at the throne of God. The halls of eternal justice will resound with the voices of redeemed sinners, angels, and heavenly beings praising the judge who is worthy to judge the world because of the personal price He paid for their sins. You see, Jesus did not compromise justice. He fulfilled it when He paid our sin debt in full. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me to deliver to you today from His word in such a time as this. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, is eagerly desirous to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring word in order to transform those of you here who are believers in Jesus Christ more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ and to turn unbelievers from the sin of unbelief to personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer and Rescuer of sinners, of whom I am the chief. So here then is the message in a nutshell. Will you please listen to it with an open heart? Jesus, the Lamb and Judge, who controls the outcome of all history, deserves endless praise, even as we just sang. So the song we sang before the message is not just a song to make time so that you can hear the message. The song is actually part of the message. You see, as the judge, Jesus declares sinners guilty. But as the Lamb, he paid the full price for our penalty. As such, Jesus deserves our endless praise. So this is exactly what we are going to see in our gospel story today. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to the last book of the Bible. That is Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. Would you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the New American Standard Bible, or the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, listen carefully. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Well, this is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Oftentimes I hear people say Revelation is too difficult to understand. They say it contains so many symbols, signs, and shocking things that make your head spin. Well, please let me give you a simple key to understanding what is written in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 tells us about the things John had seen. In other words, it described the things that have already happened at the time John saw the revelation. So it points to the past. Chapters 2 to 3 of Revelation tell us about the things which are. That is, the letters written to the seven churches centering on the things taking place at the time John recorded these words. So they are all about what is now. That is, they point to the present from the point of view of John. Then chapter 4 to 22 of Revelation deal with the things which will take place later. In other words, they point to the future. Their focus is on what will come to pass in the history of God's work among humanity. They present Jesus to us as the sovereign Lord who is sovereign over specific future events. So because of Jesus, we can face what will take place later with unshakable confidence and hope in him. So that's how Revelation is divided. Chapter 1, the present, the past. Chapter 2 to 3, the present. And chapter 4 to 22, the future. So as you read Revelation, have that in your mind. It will help you to understand more what the Bible is saying in Revelation. One of the specific future events Apostle John was given the privilege to behold is Jesus' taking of the book or the scroll from the right hand of God the Father and heaven's response to that event. That event has not happened physically now, but it will happen in the future. And God gave a vision to John the Apostle to see what will happen way, way in the future. The Bible tells us that as soon as Jesus took the scroll from the right hand of God the Father, who was sitting on his glorious throne, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They fell down before the Lamb. What holy reverence, what healthy respect, what high regard for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask those of you here who are believers in Jesus Christ, when was the last time you prostrated yourself in holy reverence before Jesus Christ?
Well, good. Praise God for you. Well, the Bible tells us they did something else. What did they do? The Bible tells us they sang a new song. In other words, they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said, heaven is revealed to earth as the homeland of music. In Revelation chapter 5 alone, you will find the greatest chorus of praise the universe can ever hear. The number of singers increases from 28, that is the four living creatures and the 24 elders in verse 8, to every creature in all of creation in verse 13. And so that's why this song we sang said, all of creation, sing with me now. That is not just a wish. It is something that is going to happen in the future soon to come. So here is the truth, that heaven and earth and all that is within them is designed for the praise of Jesus Christ, the Lamb and the Church. Now, one of the characteristics of the book of Revelation is that it is the book of new things. You see, there is the new name. The Bible tells us Jesus will give believers who have overcome a new name. So if you are a believer, you have a name that no one will know except you will know when Jesus gives it to you on that day. Jesus himself has a new name. And there is the new Jerusalem. And there is the new song. There are the new heavens and a new earth. And there is the greatest promise that God makes all things new. How many of you here believe the great promise that God makes all things new? Are you trusting Him to do something new in your life today? That's where the rubber meets the road. Well, if that's your desire, please allow me to share a few lessons from the new song sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders before the throne of God. So here, I'll just share a few lessons with you, and we will apply that to ourselves at the end of the message. The first lesson we learned from their new song, remember the Bible said they sang a new song, saying, is that their worship is focused on the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Notice the first words that came from their mouths. They said, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. Everyone say with me, Jesus, you are worthy.
Jesus, you are worthy.
I tell you, friends, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ and you are truly worshiping Jesus, you will be preoccupied with Him and constantly declare His worthiness. Actually, the verb translated sung, it says they sung a new song, is actually a present tense. That is, they sing, indicating continuous praise of Jesus in which His worthiness is continually declared, proclaimed. Now someone says, what does it mean to say Jesus is worthy? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Please listen carefully to me. The word translated worthy also means comparable, equal to, fit, deserving, or of weight. Here it refers to the distinguished qualifications of Jesus, who alone has won the right to take the scroll and open its seals. Earlier in chapter 5, verse 2 to 5 of Revelation, the Bible tells us John saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. And John, the Bible tells us, began to weep greatly until he was told that the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. The point here is that Jesus alone is deserving and or equal to the task of opening the book or the scroll. Now please listen. True worship focuses on declaring the worthiness of Jesus Christ. When was the last time your worship of Jesus focused on celebrating the worthiness of Jesus Christ? Believe me, once you have tasted true worship, I mean the kind of worship that captures your heart and rivets your full attention on the person of the living, risen, and glorified Jesus, nothing satisfies. Nothing even comes close. My friend, once you have tasted true worship, you will never want to play church again. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have been playing church, I want to ask you today to ask the Holy Spirit to put a new song in your heart, a song of continually praising the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love this new song. It's not like the latest music album released by the greatest pop star of our time, full of all kinds of special effects and dance moves. It's simply a song that is focused on the worthiness of Jesus Christ. I don't want to try all the dance moves, but when we get a new song today, it's all kinds of special effects, dance moves. But the song, the new song of heaven, focuses on what? The worthiness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second lesson we learn from the new song is that it speaks of so highly of the willing sacrifice of Jesus. Notice the Bible says, "For you were slain." The Bible is telling us here that the worthiness of Jesus for the task of taking the scroll and opening its seals was won by his willing and loving sacrifice on the cross. You see, the expression "you were slain" is a reference to the death of the human Jesus of Nazareth. It speaks of Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself on the cross for your sins and my sins. It is a death with a purpose in it. In other words, it was not an accident in history. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't an accident of history. It was not even the tragic death of a good and heroic man in the cause of righteousness and of God. It was a willing sacrificial death. Jesus willingly or voluntarily sacrifice himself to restore the lost relationship between God and man. It was for that purpose and with that result that Jesus died. In fact, Jesus himself made that clear to his disciples once in John chapter 10. In verse 17, Jesus says, "For this reason, the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." So please listen. No one forced the hand of Jesus to die on the cross. He did so willingly for you and for me. Let me ask you, if Jesus willingly sacrificed himself for you to save you from eternity with the devil and his demons, what are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? What are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? Will giving your life to Jesus be too much to ask? Will surrendering your sinful desires for drugs, for alcohol, excessive alcohol, for gambling, be too much to ask of you? Well, the third lesson we learned from the new song is that the heavenly creatures celebrated the work of Jesus in redeeming sinners. Oh, how I like these heavenly creatures. But you say, what makes you like them so much? Well, first of all, it's because they are teaching me what worship of Jesus is all about in the first place. Secondly, it's because they are not blowing their own horns. They are not praising or sticking up to for themselves. Though they are glorious and majestic, the Bible tells us here they are not making great fanfare about themselves. Rather, they are focused on celebrating what Jesus did to redeem sinners like you and me. Would you please notice what they said about the work of Jesus? He says, "And purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." You see, Jesus' work of redeeming lost sinners was the focus of their celebration. By the price of Jesus' blood, he purchased or redeemed men for God. I believe with all my heart that the heavenly beings are so passionate about worshiping Jesus for his work of redemption because that work is unique and universal. Please listen. The work of Jesus is unique because no one but Jesus alone redeemed sinners for God. You see, in all the Bible, only Jesus is magnified as the one true redeemer of wretched and wayward sinners. I like the hymn that says, "There is a redeemer, Jesus God's own son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, that was slain for you and me." Jesus' work is universal because the Bible makes it clear here that he redeemed people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You see, you and I will not be able to see people from every tribe and every nation. But one day, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, you will see these who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb at the throne of God, worshiping and sharing in the joys of heaven. Oh, the work of Jesus is unique and universal. Now, here is an amazing thing I don't want you to miss. The heavenly beings, the Bible tells us, sing of the shed blood of Jesus in heaven. Do you see that for yourself? They sang of the blood of Jesus in heaven. Well, today, some denominational churches are taking out of their hymn books all references to the blood of Jesus. But that is not the case in the hymn book of heaven. I guess God isn't going to embarrass these folks by taking them into heaven. You know why? Because they will have to sing about the blood of Jesus if they are not singing about it now. Yeah. So God is not going to embarrass them. They will not be part of heaven. Well, the Bible says we are bought with a price. That is the blood of Jesus. From every tribe and tongue and people and nations, sinners are redeemed not by any human wealth or riches. That is why the gospel is great. You don't have to be rich to be saved. Your riches will not purchase salvation for you. We are not redeemed by perishable things such as gold and silver, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It cost the death of Jesus Christ to rescue man from the dilemma and slavery into which he had brought himself. Friend, if you are genuinely born again, it means Jesus bought you from the slave market of sin and Satan with his precious blood. Your salvation cost the precious blood of Jesus. And do you know what that means for you and for me? That means you are so valuable to God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to say with me, I am bought with a price. Therefore, I am valuable to God. The fact that we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus means that Jesus, who bought us, has the right of possession over our lives. We are no longer our own to live as we choose. Jesus paid a price for our redemption and salvation. By offering himself on the cross and satisfying the full wrath of God against my sins and your sins, Jesus, listen, totally freed us from our liability in paying it ourselves. That is why I like the hymn that says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain on my life. He washed it white as snow. Now someone says, we are facing unemployment problems. We have housing needs. We have health issues. We are dealing with family struggles. We have financial challenges and concerns. We are battling fears in our lives. We have suicidal thoughts threatening our lives. We are struggling with addictions to alcohol, drugs, pornography, and gambling, and so forth. And here you are, passionately telling us about worshiping Jesus. What good will that bring into our lives? Well, please listen. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you today, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to enter into true worship of Jesus, the one who is worthy of worship, I tell you, friends, God will do a new thing in your life. Your chains will fall off. Changes will happen in your life, in your heart of heart. Channels of blessings will be opened to you like never before. And your confidence and strength in Christ to face the difficulties in life will soar to new heights. And if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you, when the roll call is made up yonder, when the saints go marching in around the throne of God, you will not be among them. You will not be found among those who are giving endless praise to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Moreover, if you are just focused on your unemployment problems, your housing problems or needs, your health issues, your family struggles, your financial challenges and fears, all those problems will pale in comparison to the dreadful judgment you'll be facing before the Lord Jesus Christ. You have wished. You have not focused on those little problems and fail to make a decision for Jesus. But today, you can avoid such a dreadful destiny because Jesus is here today not only to declare you guilty, but also to say, I have died on the cross and I have paid your price. I have paid your sin debt in full. So, how can you escape that dreadful destiny that is awaiting for you if you never put your trust in Jesus? Well, it is simple. Today, agree with Jesus that you are a sinner. Acknowledge from the bottom of your heart that Jesus indeed died on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future, and accept with childlike trust Jesus' offer of forgiveness for all your sins, because that is what he's offering you today. So if you are here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have concerns weighing on your heart, I want you to come here and stand here. People will be praying for you. If you want to be released into true worship of Jesus as a believer, so that channels of blessings will be open to you, so that chains that are holding you down will be shattered, then come and let God minister to you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, today is the day God said you are to come and receive salvation and forgiveness. So, if you are one of those people, don't live here, because tomorrow may not be yours. Tomorrow may not be yours. So, ask God today to forgive your sins.